Yes, today I want to talk really to one nekuda. Could be we'll finish early. See how long it takes. But I want to just talk. I want to talk through the. I want to get to the Rambam also, but the Rambam will be for Blinetta for tomorrow. But today I want to talk through the tour. The machlekes in the tour. What's the pshat in chayshish begreiner? Chayshish also in the Gemara says halcha ma'iskinah bechayshish begreiner. But even normally Shem Isaiah would be talking to that in the grain, so you wouldn't make a very pre-ace. Presumably you make a very pre-adama or a shackle, depending on what you hold on. Taisha says that on juice, you make a shackle. The Rambam says that on juice, vegetable juice, normally you make a very pre-adama. Whatever it is, but whatever the bracha on the nigrin is, that's what you should make, not the bracha for the Shem and Zayas. So the Gemara says, the Gemara brings a brisa that a chayshish begreinoi, so you're not allowed to gargle with the shemen. So you're not allowed to gargle with the shemen, but you're allowed to put shemen zayas harbi. You're allowed to put a lot of shemen zayas in the anigrain and be belay it. That doesn't look like a refuah on Shabbos. So you see that there's such a refuah of swallowing an anigrain with a lot of shemen zayas. So therefore, that's the case over here. The case that the shemen zayas is the ikir is you were chayshish begrain. So the machlek is yishayin was the pshat. What's pashup pshat in the Gemara? Does the Gemara mean that? Because you're chayshish begroini, that's what makes the Shem Isaias into a nikkur. That's how the Ritva learns, and the Bahag and the Torah. And it's Chayetz Mashma that it doesn't necessarily really matter how much Shem Isaias you put in. A little bit of Shem Isaias, a lot of Shem Isaias. As long as you put in enough Shem Isaias that it should be efficacious as a refuah, then it's the fact that it's a refuah that makes the Shem Isaias into a nikkur. I mean, it may be that you need a lot of Shem Isaias to make it an efficacious refuah. That I don't know. The Brice Takas is Shem Isaias Harbe. The Ritva is mashma that way. The Ritva does say the case is Shem Isaias Harbe. But the Ritva says what makes it into an ikker is not the fact that it's a lot of Shem Isaias. What makes it into an ikker is the fact that it's the refuah. That's what the Bahag says as well. What makes it into an ikker, what makes the Shem Isaias into an ikker, is the fact that I'm using the Shem Isaias the refuah. But if I wasn't doing the refuah, and if he wasn't Chayshish Begroinoi, then he could have all the Shem Isaias that he wants. It's the Shem Isaias is not going to turn into a. It's not going to turn into a nick. That's how Bahag and the Ritva. On the other hand, Rashi says, Rashi's mashma, and that what makes it a nicker is the fact that a Shem Isaias harbe. The simple mashmois in Rashi is that's the only thing that makes it into a nicker. The thing that what makes it an nicker is that it's Shem Isaias harbe. If it's harbe Shem Isaias, so then the Shem Isaias becomes dominant, and the Shem Isaias becomes there, and you make a bracha on the Shem and the Shem Isaias. And refuah, so why did they mention? Why did the Gemara mention refuah? The Gemara mentioned refuah only because typically, when would you put a lot of Shem Isaias into an anigrin? Only if you were doing the refuah. Why else would you put so much Shem Isaias into the anigrin? The reason why you did it was because you were doing. So typically, the reason why would be because you were doing it to the refuah. But even if you did not refuah. If you made an anigroid with a lot of Shem Isaias, but it doesn't say what's exactly you called a lot, maybe a rive, but if you made a Shem Isaias, you made an anigroid with a lot of Shem Isaias, then the Shem Isaias, by virtue of the fact that it's the rive, would become the ikar. And that's the shita that the Torah brings also b'shem Rav Yosef, and the Torah is masking with that shita. So the machlekes here l'chayra has two sides to it, two sides to this coin. First of all, it's mashma that according to the Ritva, and presumably the Bahag also, but the Ritva is really more mefurish this way. According to the Ritva, the fact that it's a lot of Shem Isaias is not enough to make it a nikkur. You need it to be it has to be l'refua to become a nikkur. The harbe by itself will not make it into a nikkur. Whereas according to Rashi, it's mashma, and even more mefurish in the Torah, Shem Rav Yosef, that once you have harbe, you don't even need the refuah part. The harbe itself makes it into a nikkur. That's one side of the coin. And then there's an opposite side of the coin that also seems to be reflected over here, which is that according to the Ritva, being the refuah is a reason to be a nikkur. Whereas, according to Rashi and the Rav Yosef, it sounds like, and Rashi certainly sounds like, that the being lerefuah is not enough to make him into a nikkur. I need the Shemizai's harbe to become a nikkur. If it wasn't a harbe, then lerefuah alone would not make him into a nikkur. And the Torah says that way beferish. It was yesh b'zeh ma'ashayim b'zeh. It's like a... What's the factor that makes him into a nikkur? Whatever is the factor that makes him into a nikkur, if you learn the Gemara, that what makes him into a nikkur is that it was lerefuah, like the Ritva learns. So that it happened... But the Ritva agrees that there was a lot of Shem and Zayis, because normally when you do a lerefuah, there is a lot of Shem and Zayis. But the fact that there's a lot of Shem and Zayis is not enough to make it into the Ikkar. What makes it an Ikkar is the lerefuah. So you can see from the Ritva two things. First of all, that lerefuah makes it into an Ikkar. And number two, that harbe by itself does not make it into an Ikkar. And on the other end, in the Torah, it's just the opposite. That the Torah holds lerefuah cannot make it into an Ikkar. And lerefuah, and Faket, the Torah insists that making lerefuah is deleterious to make it into an ikkar. The Torah asks and the Bahagi says, how can being lerefuah make it an ikkar? Lerefuah is a reason not to make a bracha. It's a reason, if anything, to be less of an ikkar, not more of an ikkar. So lerefuah, the Torah says, but feirish is not a reason to be an ikkar. The only thing that makes it an ikkar into an ikkar is the Shem Zayis Harbe. And when Shem Zayis Harbe is an ikkar, despite the fact that it's a lerefuah, not because it's a lerefuah. So you see a double machlekes. There's a machlekes here. Not all the Rishonim are totally explicit about both points, but what emerges is that it's a double machlekes. One school of Rishonim holds that lerefuah makes it a nikkur, but Ribui Hashemen does not make it into a nikkur. And the other school of Rishonim holds that Ribui Hashemen makes it into a nikkur, but refuah does not make it into a nikkur. So both things need asma. What's the nekudas and machlekes on both sides? So yesterday I said, and I'm not going to add to this part, that as far as the machlekes, can the ribi alone make it into a nikkur? Rashi holds the ribi alone can make it into a nikkur. And the Ritva holds, no, the ribi alone does not make it into a nikkur. You need the refuah aspect. So that I suggested yesterday. I'm not nailing my colors to this, but I thought, b'pshuto, you could say, that Rashi and the Rashi and the Ritva, l'shitasa. Because what's the problem with Shem and Zayis in the first place? The Ritva learns because you're not nene from the Shem Zayis. And Rashi learns that it's because the Shem Zayis is mazik you. But it's mashman Rashi, b'pshutai. I mean, we have Torah maybe yesterday or not, but b'pshutai it's mashman that maybe I am nene from the Shem. That's not the problem. The problem is it's mazik. So now when he makes the Shem Zayis into the anigroin, so now it's not mazik. Well, according to Rashi, once it's not mazik, then it's like anything else. It has a taste. Who says the Shem Zayis has any less of a taste than anything else in the Sanhedrin? So why shouldn't the Shem Zayis be able to be an Ikkar? If the Shem Zayis is derived, then what's preventing the Shem Zayis from being the Ikkar? In this context, it's not Mazik. So once you take off once you knock out the problem being Mazik, so the Shem Zayis has a taste and everything else in the Nigrin has a taste, and this is derived. So derived of the taste is coming from the Shem Zayis, so that should be the Ikkar, all by itself. Whereas the Ritva learns that the Shem Zayis doesn't have much of it, doesn't have a good taste. You're not nene from the Shem Zayis. So now when you mix it up with the anigroin, so even if you're nene from it, it must be that you're nene from it in some, what's the word, ancillary way. The Shem Zayis doesn't really have a good taste. But maybe it makes the rest of the anigroin go down smoother. It somehow enhances the rest of the anigroin. But the Shem Zayis per se is tasteless, or it has a bad taste, or not a neutral taste, whatever it is. It's not a taste that you want, the taste of the Shem Zayis. So then, even if you have a lot of Shem and Zayis, that's not a reason to be a nikkur. You know, it's like Rav Shach said, it's miut and yofa. A little bit of Shem and Zayis makes it go down good. So, but a lot of Shem and Zayis just makes it taste like Shem and Zayis, and Shem and Zayis has a bad taste. So having a lot of Shem and Zayis is not a reason to be a nikkur. Ruler of Fuah can make it into a nikkur. So that nekuda, can the ribi of the Shem and Zayis by itself make it into a nikkur? Maybe we could say that Rashi and the Ritva are a lishitosam. What about the other side? The Mashmais and the Rashi is that lerefuah will not make it into a nikkur. What makes a nikkur is the ribui of the shaman, but the fact that it's the lerefuah is not by itself a reason to be a nikkur. And the Torah is mefurish that way. The Torah is mefurish that way, that being lerefuah is not a reason to be a nikkur. And the Torah says more. The Torah asks on the Bahag. And the Bahag is the Shita of the Ritva. The Torah asks on the Bahag, and by extension it's a question on the Ritva as well, how can you tell me that being lerefuah makes something an Ikkar? if you eat something lerefuah, you don't make a bracha on it at all. So we're going to the hemshich of the Gemara. The Gemara says that if you eat something lerefuah, so if you're nemenah from it, so you make a bracha. But if you're not nemenah from it, then you don't make any bracha at all. So you see that refuah is not, the hanah of refuah is not hanah that you make a bracha on. So if I don't make a bracha on refuah, so if the fact that the Shem Zayis here is playing a role in refuah, how can that make the Shem Zayis into an ikker? It makes it maybe, maybe something that my health insurance will pay for, but in Hilchas Brachas, it's nothing. In Hilchas Brachas, being a refuah is not a reason to make a bracha. If being a refuah is not a reason to make a bracha, so how is it a reason to make the Shem Zayis into an ikker in Hilchas Brachas? Doesn't make any sense. The Torah, and again, as I said a minute ago, the Torah says against the Bahag, he says, if anything, it's migra gora. The fact that the Shem Zayis is refuah, if anything, would be a reason not to make a bracha on the Shem Zayis. But you make a bracha on the Shem Zayis anyway because the Shem Zayis has a tam. But then if you want to judge if it's an ikur or a tofel, you have to judge it on the basis of the tam, on the tam alone. But how can it being lerefuah tip the scales that it becomes an ikur if lerefuah is not a reason to make a bracha altogether? If it's not a reason to make a bracha altogether, then how can it be a reason that this should be the ikur lagavi brachas? That's the kasha of the Torah. So that's what I want to explain, set out to try and explain. What's the Nekudas HaMachlekes over here? And why does the Bahag and the Ritva hold, how do the Bahag and the Ritva hold that Lirafuah does make it into an Iker if Lirafuah by itself is not even a reason to make a bracha? And what's the Nekudas HaMachlekes here altogether? So, I was thinking the following. The din of Iker B'Tofel, the din of Iker B'Tofel that we find in the Mishnah later on in that Membeis, called Sheikur V'Metfeilu, Mavarach al-Iker V'Poyter Esetfeilu, is by two foods that I'm eating separately, two distinct foods. So let's say I'm eating very salty fish, and that's what I want. I really want the very salty fish, but the very salty fish makes me it's very overwhelming. So I have to have a little bit of bread to break the saltiness of the fish. So then the fish is the ikker and the bread is the tofel. Or I'm eating very, very sweet fruit. And in order to eat the very, very sweet fruit, I have to have something salty to break the overwhelming sweetness. So then the fruit are the ikker and the other thing is the tofel. That's the case of ikker v'tofel that you find in the Mishnah, where it's two separate foods. And I'm eating one only because I'm eating the other. My primary desire is to eat food A, But because I'm eating food A, I also have to eat food B, and food B therefore becomes a tofel. There is perhaps another kind of ikur b'tofel that's not mentioned in the Mishnah, and that's where you have one food, but the food has various ingredients, and I want us to determine, is one ingredient in ikur and the other ingredients are tofel. What's the source for that concept of ikur b'tofel? So that we find in a Gemara later on, the Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara talks about riato. Riato is a kind of porridge. They would add to it honey, like oatmeal and maple syrup. So the Gemara says, and the Shah is, what bracha do you make? Do you make a mezainis or do you make a shakal? What's the ikkud? Is it the oatmeal or the syrup? So the Gemara says, well, so the Gemara l'chadchil wants to say that it depends if it's how much oatmeal there is and how much syrup there is. If there's a lot of syrup, then it's a shakal. If there's a lot of oatmeal, then it's a mezainis. The Gemara doesn't say what's called a lot. The Gemara just says the riato, this meal, this cereal that they would eat. If it's made in the way they make it in the cities, they put in a lot of honey, so then it's a shakal. The way they make it in the country, where they put in more cereal, less honey, so then they put in not so much honey, so then it's a mezainis. It doesn't say beferish that it's totally in roiv. But the Rosh seems to have understood that Gemara that it's totally in Reif. If it's more syrup, it's shakal. If it's more cereal, it's mezainis. So the Gemara says that the halacha is not true, because we have a rule from Rav and Shmuel that mezainis, any food that has mezainis in it, the mezainis takes over and it becomes mezainis. So even if the mezainis is, and this is the halacha l'maisa, any food that has mezainis in it, dogon in it, has one of the chameshes meaning dogon in it. So even if the dogon is a miyut ingredient, nonetheless it has a bracha of mezainis. That's halach and shacharach. Any food that has dogon in it, as long as the dogon is there for taste. If the dogon is only there as a binder, that's a different story. But if the dogon is there in order to contribute a taste, even if it's a minority ingredient, the dogon takes over, it becomes a mezainis. That's halacha pesukim shulchan aruch. Yeah, we're not doing practical halacha. In practical halacha, a lot of ambivalent cases like breaded fish, you know, this whole tumult breaded fish, it has dogon for taste, so it should be a. Or gefilte fish. Gefilte fish has matzah meal in it, especially the commercial, you know, the jarred gefilte fish. It has matzah meal. And it's there. It's there for not just for binder. It's there. It's part of the food. So they say they asked the Chazon Ish, what bracha do you make on this gefilte fish? So he said you make a shahako. So they said, but it has matzah meal. So he said it's a svart fish. It's still fish. And nonetheless, it's fish. I'm not sure what that means, but that's what he said. Or breaded. Anyway, I'm not going into that. But what it says in Shulchan Aruch is that if the dogon is nice and tam, it's for another time when we can learn the sugyas. Maybe we'll talk about it. But what it says in Shulchan Aruch is if the dogon is an ingredient, the dogon takes over. However, says the Rosh on Daf Lamed Zayin, that what about other foods that are not dogon? Let's say you're making this oatmeal, but instead of using oats, you're using rice. You're making a rice pudding. So then the Rosh says, that rice doesn't have this rule that even if it's a meat, it takes over. Says the Rosh, then we could tackle learn from this Gemara that we go after the Rav. And if it's Rav rice, so you make a bracha mezonos. And if it's Rav, maple syrup or wasabi, so then you would make a bracha of shahakol. It's again to the sushi shtum. So that's what it says in the Rosh, and that's put down also the halach. So the chayri you see from this Rosh, that there's a different kind of ikar v'tafel. When you have two foods that are blended together, not two different foods, when I have two foods that are blended together, then I make a bracha on the food that's derived. And b'pshuto, that's also an instance of the idea of ikar v'tafel. In Magen Avraham, at the beginning of Reish Yud Beis, Avraham says b'feirush, that's medin ikar v'tafel, that the ingredient that's derived, Rosh, I don't think the Rosh himself uses the word ikar v'tafel, but the Magen Avraham understands it to mean that the reason, the rationale behind it is ikar v'tafel. And that's also how it's mashma l'chayre in the Ritva over there in Daf Lamed Zayin, that this din is medin ikar v'tafel. That in the oatmeal, and the Gemara's havamina before the Gemara knows the dogon overwhelms everything. So if there's more oatmeal, the dogon is the ikar, and if there's more honey, then the honey is the ikar. So it's an ikar v'tafel concept. However, the Goyin in Reish Beis, in the beginning of Siman Reish Beis, the Goyin says, there's no such thing as ikar v'tofel in a tarevis. The concept of ikar v'tofel is only about two separate foods. So what does that mean? But what happened to this? What about this rush with the Shulchan Aruch brings? That when you have multiple ingredients, you go basarev. So the answer is that the Goyin is l'shitasei. When we learn the other sugis later on, we'll talk about it again. But the answer is the Goyin is l'shitasei. That the Goyin... going to Shitasai, and that halacha that you go bust the roi by the rice, I forget where it is, but the going says, because Rubai Kikulai. In other words, the going learns, of course, it's a Gemara about Riyat the Chaklai, that you go, when you have a mixture of ingredients, you go bust the majority ingredient. But the going learns, that's nothing to do with Ikar v'tofel. That's a different principle, because Rubai Kikulai. If it's mostly rice, then we look at it as if it's all rice. So halacha nilchas tarevis. But the concept of ikar v'tofel only applies when you have separate foods. In a mixture, there's no such thing as an ikar v'tofel. What if you have a mixture? You have a food that no ingredient is the majority, but one ingredient is still more important than the others. You know, that ingredient is 40%, and it's more. That's the ingredient that a cook would tell you that's the most important ingredient. So if it's midin ikar v'tofel, maybe it doesn't, even if it's not a roiv, but if it's the largest ingredient and it's the prominent ingredient, I don't know exactly what the rules would be, then maybe it would be there would be a concept of ikar v'tofel. But the field of going, there's no such thing as ikar v'tofel in a tarevis. There's a din of rubai kikulai. If it's mostly rice, it's all rice. But if it's not mostly rice, then it's not all rice. So then there's no concept of ikar v'tofel, and everything in the mixture needs to have a bracha. And if it's not shaykh to separate them out and make a bracha and everything in the mixture, then maybe you just have to make the bracha that's the lowest common denominator from all of the things. Like, you know, make a shakal or something, but there's no way to make separate brachas. But upon him, it's not midin ikar v'tofel. So here we have a machlekes. We have a concept of ikar v'tofel by two separate foods. That's a Mishnah. And then we have a concept of ikar v'tofel by a tarevis, and that's controversial. The Magen Avraham, the Ritva's Mashmah that we hold, so there's a concept of ikar v'tofel in a tarevis also. And the Goyin says, there's no such thing as an ikar v'tofel in a tarevis. The concept of Ikka V'Tofel is reserved for when you have two separate foods. What's the pshat in the Goyin? Why is this true? Why is the concept of Ikka V'Tofel only when you have two separate foods and not when you have foods that are mixed together, a recipe that has multiple ingredients? So I think the pshat in Goyin is, the Goyin held that the din of Ikka V'Tofel is only shayach when you have two foods and I'm only eating the second food because I ate the first food. Because I ate the salty fish, that's why I'm eating the bread. If I wasn't eating the salty fish, then I wouldn't eat the bread. But because I'm eating the fruit, that's why I'm eating this the very, very sweet fruit, that's why I'm eating the other thing to break it. So food A is causing me to eat food B. So then food A is the ikka. But when you have a dish that has many ingredients, then you can't say, well, I'm eating it because I'm ingredient A, and that's why I'm eating ingredient B. This is the dish. I'm eating this oatmeal with maple syrup because I like oatmeal with maple syrup. And everything goes together to make it into oatmeal with maple syrup, and I want this recipe. I like this mixture. So one is not causing the other. Everything you have multiple ingredients that you put them together and vayetzeh ha'egel hazeh, and that's what it is. So you can't say I'm eating one because of the other. So the Goyin says that's nothing to do with Ikka V'Tofel. You could talk about Ruba Kekule, that's a different principle, but Ikka V'Tofel over there has no relevance. I want to bring out from this Goyin is that the Goyin understood very clearly, and it's very clear that the Goyin understood that the concept of the main meaning of Ikka V'Tofel is that food A is the reason why I'm eating food B. I'm only eating food B because I'm eating food A. And that's not Shayach and Tarevus. And I want to now add that it could also be that even according to the Magen Avraham and the Ritva, who hold that in a Tarevus there is a concept of Ikka V'Tofel, but they would agree that's a different Ikka V'Tofel than when you have two separate foods. When you have two separate foods, the concept of Ikka V'Tofel is I'm only eating food B because I'm eating food A. In the language of the Goyin, that's called a Tfeilo She'enu Me'urevus. The food is a Tofel and it's not mixing with the Ikka. So I'm only eating the Tofel because I ate the Ikka, so now I have to eat the Tofel. But when it's Me'urev, so then there's that concept of Tofel that one is Goyim the other. I'm only eating food B because I'm eating food A, and that's Shayach and Atarevus. It could very well be that the Magen Avraham and the Ritva would agree to that. They just hold, based on the Gemara, their understanding of the Gemara of Riyata Dechakloi, of the oatmeal story over there, that there's another concept of Ikka V'Tofel, that when you have many ingredients in a food, so the ingredient that's most important becomes the Ikka, and the other ingredients become the Tofel. But they would agree that it's a different kind of Ikka V'Tofel. It's not that you have a rice chocolate. It's chocolate made out of rice. It's not that I'm eating the chocolate because I'm eating the rice, or I'm eating the rice because I'm eating the chocolate. I'm eating chocolate cake. This is what I want. So, there is maybe, and the Goyin doesn't think that there is. Maybe there's a different kind of Ikka V'Tofel, but it's not the tofel that you have by a tefillah she'enu me'urevus. Now, again, b'derech klal. When you have a tarovis, then you don't have the concept of Ikka V'Tofel that you have when you have two separate foods. As the Goyin says, the Goyin says, L'shayach Ikka V'Tofel in a tefillah me'urevus. In a mixture, you can't say one food caused the other. Maybe, according to the Magen Avraham, the Ritva might have a different concept of Ikka V'Tofel, but the Mishnayach Ikka V'Tofel, that one food caused the other, the Ikka V'Tofel you find in the Mishnah by Dag Maliach and so on, that you don't have in a mixture. Because in a mixture, you can never say, I'm eating the chocolate because I'm eating the rice, or I'm eating the rice because I'm eating the chocolate. I'm eating the mixture. So that concept of Ikka V'Tofel normally would not apply to a mixture. And that's why the Goyin says that in a mixture, you don't really have the Goyin holds, that in a mixture, you don't even have the whole concept of Ikka V'Tofel. However, there is a case that's a Taroivis, where we could nonetheless say that I'm only eating the other ingredients because I want this ingredient. Normally, you can never say that. But there is one case that you're able to say that even though the foods are mixed up together, the only reason why I'm eating the other ingredients is because I want to have this ingredient. What's that case? What? The refuah. When one of the ingredients, I want the refuah. That's an unusual case where I can really identify there's one ingredient here that that's the ingredient I want. I want the Shemiz ice. But I'm not going to eat the Shemiz ice by itself because it's mazik me, or it has a horrible taste, or it has no taste. So I mix it up with other foods. But it's only in order that I should be able to eat the Shemiz, I should be able to have the Shemiz ice. So even though it's a mixture, but it functions like a Tfeila Shemim Merevis. First of all, even before we go any further, I think right away this will sort of help us to understand the Bahag, the ritva, that if one food is lirafuah, the other foods become a tafel. If the shaman is lirafuah, that makes the other foods a tafel. And the Torah asked, we'll clarify this more as we go along, but even just now as haschala, even we can start to see, the Torah asked on that, he said, how can lirafuah make something into an ikkah? Refuah doesn't warrant the bracha altogether. So how could refuah be a reason why something is an ikkar? If we were talking about a tefillah mu'revis, the kind that where the issue is what ingredient is the most important in the recipe, so then I would hear the Torah's hasaga very much. How can you say the Shemiz Ayis is the most important ingredient in the recipe because it's the refuah, when refuah is altogether not a reason to make a bracha? But now that we're saying that the Shemiz Ayis here is not, it's not that the Shemiz Ayis is the most important ingredient in the recipe. The reason why the Shemiz Ayis is the ikir is because the Shemiz Ayis is the reason why I'm eating everything else. It's more like a tefillah she'eino merevis in the way it works. So then it's still true. So it is true that the refuah maybe doesn't warrant the bracha. But the reason why I'm eating this whole mixture is only because I need the Shemiz Ayis, the refuah. So the Shemiz Ayis is the siba, and everything else is the mesubah, everything else is the effect. And that's the concept of the Feilu Shein Merevis, that the Siba is always the Iker and everything else is the Tafel. So this is not the whole story. There's more here to say and more to way to clarify it. But I think even intuitively we can start to feel that this certainly goes a long way in making the Bahag, the Ritva, making their Shita more palatable, more understandable. If the kneading was like an oatmeal with syrup, and I want to know what's the main thing in the ingredient, what's the main ingredient over here, the oatmeal or the maple syrup. So it doesn't make sense to say, well, the oatmeal is the refuah, it's the most important ingredient or the oatmeal is healthier, so it's the most important ingredient in the recipe. You know, just like we wouldn't say that if you want to know what's the most important ingredient, so you say, well, which one has more vitamins? That'll make it the refuah. You don't make a bracha on vitamins. You make a bracha on the food, and you want to know what food is the most tasty, what food is the most important in the recipe. So that refuah should make, it doesn't make sense that refuah should make, the fact that the shemen is the refuah, should make the shemen the most important part of the recipe of the anigrain. But if we're looking for a different kind of ikar v'tofel, we're looking for the ikar v'tofel where I want to identify which food is the cause and which food is the effect. Which is the cart and which is the horse? So the Shemiz Ayis here is the cause. I'm only drinking it because of the Shemiz Ayis. The anigrin is the result. Because I'm drinking the Shemiz Ayis, I have to drink the anigrin too. Because otherwise, it helps it go down. So then already, I could hear more that that might be enough reason for the Shemiz Ayis to be a nigrin. Okay, but so then what does the tour hold? We still haven't really entirely clarified what's the nekudas and machlekes here between the Torah and the Ba'al. But I think it's a haschala. So now let's go further. It's an idin in Mefarshim. The halacha is when you have an ikir and a tafel, you make a bracha on the ikir and you don't need a bracha on the tafel. So what's the pshat? So our basic things. Does that mean that the tafel does not need a bracha at all? Or does it mean a lot of tefillah needs a bracha, but the bracha of the ikar patters the tefillah? So there's a Trumas Hadeshin, which is brought down in the halacha, both by the Beis Yosef and by the Rama in Siman Reish Yud Beis, Shmuel Sedeshin says the following. He says, normally, when you have an ikar and a tuffel, you make a bracha on the ikar and you pat to the tuffel. But what if you taste, what if it's two separate foods and you ate the ikar first? You ate the tuffel first. So you put you took a bite of the tuffel before you even ate the ikar, before you made the bracha on the ikar. Says the Shmuel Sedeshin, then you have to make a bracha on the tuffel. Because you can't eat without a bracha. The tuffel needs a bracha. So normally you make the bracha on the ikar first, and it patters the tuffel. You have the dag maliach first, and then you made the shakal on the dag maliach, so then it patters the piece of bread that you had afterwards. But if you put the bread in your mouth first, in anticipation that then you're afterwards gonna take the salty fish, so then it's still a tuffel, but you can't be without a bracha. So then you have to make a bracha on the tuffel. So you see from the Shmuel Sedeshin that he understood, and this is the Beis Yosef and Rambam agree, that the way ikar v'tuffel works is that the tuffel needs a bracha. It's not that the tuffel doesn't need a bracha, but the bracha of the ikar patters the tuffel. It's also muchach this way in Taisus, in that Mamdalet and Medalef. Taisus says that the din of ikar v'tuffel only works if when you ate the ikar, you were planning to eat the tuffel. But if when you ate the ikar, you weren't planning to eat the tuffel, and you didn't have it in mind, and then you're so salty, your mouth is burning, you didn't realize how peppery this food is, and then you take a piece of bread to afterwards, or some water afterwards, because your mouth is burning. So Taisus says, then you need to make shakal. Then you do need to make a bracha, because when you made the bracha nikr, you didn't have in mind the bat of the tuffel. So Taisus also, it's muchach, the same you say, that it's not that the tuffel doesn't need a bracha. The tuffel needs a bracha. But the bracha of the ikar patters the tuffel. But only if you had a mind, you're going to have it. If you didn't have a mind, you're going to eat the tuffel. So then, how can the bracha of the ikar patter it? Could be Sanadov a Muslim. This is a Balamor and a Rashba and Memala from the base. The halach is when you eat bread, it patters other foods that are in the Suda. Of course, as we know, you make hamotzi, it patters everything in the Suda. So the Balamor and the Rashba write, it works even for foods, Paris is thinking that they're talking about over there, that were not there when he made the Hamotzi. Because the Tefillah doesn't need a bracha. It sounds l'chora, like they're saying, that you didn't have a mind for the Paris, but it doesn't matter, since they're tuffel to the bread, so they don't need a bracha, it doesn't matter, you didn't have them in mind. The problem is the Shulchan Aruch brings that halacha too. The Shulchan Aruch brings the Taisus, and the Shmuel Sedeshin, and he brings also this din of the Balamar, that when you make hamotzi, it patters even the foods that aren't in the fun of. So the Shulchan Aruch apparently understood that you patter the foods that aren't in the fun of, not because they don't need a bracha, but because, like stomach, when you eat bread, you have in mind everything that you're gonna, you have in mind that it's even the things that aren't there, but it's because you have them in mind. Like you have it like stomach, you have them in mind. But the simple reading of the Balamar and the Rashba is that you do not have them in mind, but they don't need to have a bracha because a tefillah does not need a bracha. There's certainly, in theory at least, welcome to say that the way ikar v'tuffel works is the tuffel does not need a bracha. Again, it's not like the Shmuel Sedeshin, it's not like Taisus later on, it's not like Taisus and Daf Membeis. But there's a welcome to say, and maybe that's the sheet of the Balamar and the Rashba, that a tefillah does not need a bracha at all. If that's the case, then I think we can go further and we can explain the machlekes, the Bahag of the Torah. What's in the Kodesh? The Torah says, how can you say the Shem Isaias, because it's the refuah, is the ikar and the ending is the tuffel? The refuah doesn't need a bracha at all. If the refuah doesn't need a bracha at all, then how can the Shem Isaias be an ikar because it's the refuah? And the Hag disagrees. The Hag Lirich, where they say that the Shem Isaias, because it's the refuah, it becomes the ikar. So I'll make the following suggestion. We'll start with a thought experiment. Einstein was fond of thought experiments. Make a thought experiment. Let's imagine the following case. I'm eating a food, the refuah. Purely lirafua, and you don't make any bracha at all. It has no hanah, like the Taisa says in Asagir. Paiskim will say, based on our Gemara, that if you eat a food only the refuah that doesn't have any good taste, then you do not make any bracha at all. And then, this food, this medicine that I'm only taking the refuah is very strong, or it's very burning, and therefore I eat something with it, because not because I want that food, but just because I took the refuah, I have to eat the food. I mean, the truth is ma'isim b'chol yom. There are lots of medicines that can't be taken on an empty stomach. So let's say you're taking a certain pill, and on the pill you don't make a bracha because you don't have any yadav from the pill. But this pill, it says in the package, it can't be eaten on an empty stomach. You have to have some food after this pill, or before, whatever. You have to have some food. So I took the pill, and now I'm eating the food. So do you need to make a bracha on the food? Chayra, it depends on the Trumas Hadeshen, and it depends on this Trumas Hadeshen. If the din is that a tefillah needs a bracha, if you eat the tefillah first, then you have to make a bracha, because you can't eat without a bracha, you can't eat food without a bracha, even a tefillah needs a bracha. It's just the bracha on the ikar, path is the tefillah. But here I didn't make a bracha on the ikar, because the ikar was a pill, I didn't make any bracha on the pill. Then I have to make a bracha on the tefillah, so then I have to make a bracha on the food. There's no other bracha there that could path to the food. A food needs to have a bracha. Again, that's the halacha of the Trumas Hadeshen. It's a different case, but it's very similar to the Trumas Hadeshen. Trumas Hadeshen said when you have a real ikar of a tuffel, but if you eat the tuffel first, you have to make a bracha on the tuffel, because the ikar can't part of the tuffel if I'm eating the tuffel first. Or Tosis, if I have an ikar in the tuffel, but if when I ate the ikar, I didn't have in mind the tuffel, then the ikar can't part of the tuffel. So then here, there's nothing to talk about. How can here, when I ate the ikar, I didn't make any bracha at all, so of course the tuffel needs its own bracha. If, on the other hand, you hold that a tuffel doesn't need a bracha be'etzem, a food that I'm eating as a tuffel doesn't eat a bracha be'etzem because I'm not eating it because I want it. I'm only eating it because I ate something else, like maybe the Baal Mor and the Rashba. So then I would say, this food at the end of the day is a tuffel. It's a tuffel to the pill. And a tuffel doesn't eat a bracha. So then I would say that of this food, you don't make a bracha at all. Sounds to me like it's right. La'halocha, it's not la'halocha. We will make a bracha because we pass like the Trumas Hadeshen. Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef, they're more. They all pass like the Trumas Hadeshen. But the feed is, you know, there's potentially maybe this other shita that a tuffel doesn't need a bracha at all. So then I would hear if you ate a pill and then you had a food. So the food is a tuffel to the pill. You didn't make any bracha on the pill in a chadami, but it's still a tuffel to the pill in the sense that the pill is what's making me eat the food. I don't want the food. I'm only eating the food because I've had the pill. So the food is a tuffel, and a tuffel doesn't need a bracha. Seems to me that's the yashus. So now let's go back to the tour and the Bahag. And what I want to suggest is that the Bahag holds like this Baal Mor, like the Rashba, that a tuffel doesn't need a bracha. Which is the way I'm going to suggest pshat in the Baal Mor and the Rashba, not the way the Shulchan Aruch understood. That a tuffel, the Bahag holds a tuffel doesn't need a bracha. If a tuffel doesn't need a bracha, so then what? You could be a tuffel too or a fuah too. Either a fuah doesn't need a bracha, okay, fuah doesn't need a bracha, and a tuffel doesn't need a bracha, but you could still be a tuffel. The din is that a tuffel doesn't need a bracha. What does it matter if you're tuffel to a fuah or you're tuffel to a food? A tuffel does not need a bracha. Meaning, a food that I'm eating only because I'm eating something else does not warrant a bracha. So this tuffel does not warrant a bracha. So the same thing with Shem and Zayis. The Shem and Zayis is not like a pill. Shem and Zayis, you would make the Shem and Zayis, once it's mixed up, maybe it would warrant a bracha. But it's not an ikar. The Shem and Zayis by itself would not be the ikar in this recipe. Like, that's the case. You're having Shem and Zayis in an anigroin. Now the Shem and Zayis not mazik, and the Shem and Zayis became palatable, but the Shem and Zayis not the ikar. But since I'm taking the refuah, says the Bahag, since I'm taking the refuah, the Shem and Zayis becomes the ikar. Shem and Zayis becomes the ikar. Ask the Torah, how can the Shem and Zayis be the ikar because it's the refuah? Because the Shem and Zayis is the refuah, therefore it's the ikar. But being the refuah doesn't warrant the bracha at all. So I would say, okay, maybe it doesn't. But so what? The Shem and Zayis is the refuah. If the Shem and Zayis is the refuah, and everything else in the anigroin, the rest of the anigroin is a tuffel to the refuah, then everything else in the anigroin doesn't need any bracha at all. So then what bracha do you make? You make the bracha on the Shem and Zayis, because the Shem and Zayis does need a bracha. When it's in a mixture, it's palatable, it's not mazikle, so you make the bracha on the Shem and Zayis. The kunz here is, I don't need to say because the Shem Azayis is the refuah, therefore the bruch on the Shem Azayis is more important than the bruch on the rest of the anigrin. It's if you say that a tuffel doesn't need a bruch at all, then what I'm saying is because the Shem Azayis is the refuah, then everything else there, which I'm only taking as a secondary, as an effect. So everything else altogether doesn't need a bracha. So the only thing in this mixture that needs a bracha is the Shem Azayis itself. Because the Shem Azayis itself is, and so therefore you make a bracha, Bari Pietz. Not because the Bari Pietz patterns everything else. Because the Bari Pietz is the only bracha that needs to be said. Everything else doesn't need a bracha at all. Asher came, the tour holds, like the Truma Sedeshim, like the Bishayisif, like the Ramah, like we Paskin, that a Tafel also needs a bracha. The din of Iker v'Tafel is that the bracha on the Iker patters the bracha on the Tafel. So the Anigun needs a bracha. So it needs a bracha, and the Anigun l'char is the Iker. So what are you going to say? Yeah, but the Anigun is a Tafel to the Shem Azayis, so therefore the bracha of the Shem Azayis patters the bracha on the Anigun. But the Shem Azayis, insofar as it's the refuah, doesn't need a bracha altogether. The Shem Azayis only needs a bracha because it also has a taste, but as a taste, it's a Tafel. It's only an Iker because it's the refuah. The refuah part never needed a bracha. So how does it make sense to say that the bracha and the Shem and Zayis patters the bracha and the Anigrin because the Shem and Zayis is the refuah? But the refuah Shabbai altogether doesn't need a bracha. So how could that be a reason that the bracha and the Shem and Zayis could patter the bracha and the Anigrin? Says the Torah, it doesn't make any sense. But the Bahag's answer would be, no, in a Chanami, I'm not saying that the Shem and Zayis, the bracha and the Shem and Zayis patters the bracha and the Anigrin. What I'm saying is that the Anigrin altogether doesn't need a bracha because I'm only eating it as a tefillah, and a tefillah doesn't need a bracha. So the refuah also doesn't need a bracha. 100%. Refuah does not need a bracha. When you make a bracha on the Shem Azayis, it's not a bracha on the refuah Shabbai. Refuah doesn't need a bracha. But the anigun also doesn't need a bracha because it's only a tafel. So what's left standing? The anigun doesn't need a bracha because it's tafel to the refuah. The refuah per se also doesn't need a bracha because refuah doesn't need a bracha. So, but there is something left. The Shem Azayis. The Shem Azayis is not a tafel. Besides being the refuah, there's also a hanah. Now that it's in a mixture, it's not a zukimazikle, and it's not totally unpalatable. So now the Shem Azayis is the only thing here that requires a bracha. So on Shem Azayis, make a bracha, Bari Pietz.
Doesn't the Baha'i not hold that it's because the zukimazikle hurts him, right? But they hold that a zukimazikle means he's just damaging it because it has no taste. So therefore, if it has no taste...
What are you saying? Start again. We know what the Bahag holds about this, or are you just being
confirmed? I'm saying we're assuming that the Bahag is joined with the Ritz.
No, I don't think we have.
No?
Whereas the Bahag, I don't know. I don't think the Bahag in the tour. I don't think the Bahag addresses. Look in the back. Why? What's the meaning of a zuki masikle? But Hakol Moedim, that when you mix the Shem Azayis with the Anigrin, you lose. It's no longer a zuki masikle. Whatever that means. According to Rashi, it means it's not masik your guf. According to the Ritz, it means it's no longer unpalatable. Now you have hanah from the Shem Azayis. Kacha, it doesn't matter. But certainly, Hakol Moedim, when the Shem Azayis in the Anigroin, because when the Gemara first suggested that you're eating it out of the Anigroin, the Gemara didn't answer, yeah, but at the end of the day, the Shem Azayis itself is still Mazik. That's not true. Once the Shem Azayis is in the Anigroin, Azuki Mazik goes away. The Gemara just says, but it's tuffel to the Anigroin. So what's the answer? It's Lirafua. So the Bahag's understanding of that answer is, meaning the Anigroin, since the Shem Azayis is Lirafua, so the rest of the Anigroin altogether doesn't need a bracha. If the rest of the nigun altogether doesn't need a bracha, then you left the Shem Azayis. Since it's in the Tarevis, it's not mazikle. So you make the bracha on the Shem Azayis. Not on the refuah Shabbai, that doesn't warrant a bracha altogether. You make a bracha on the Shem Azayis, mitzad the hanot, the little bit of hanot that you have from the Shem Azayis. Because nothing else in the mixture needs a bracha altogether. Whereas the Torah understood that the tefillah also needs a bracha. You need the bracha of the ikr to pater the tefillah. Well, the bracha on the Shem Azayis is only an ikr because it's the refuah, but the bracha is not on the refuah Shabbai. The bracha is only on the Tam Shabbai. So there is no bracha on the refuah Shabbai of the Shem Azayis. So to the extent the Shem Azayis plays the role as an ikker, to that extent it altogether doesn't need a bracha. So that's not it can't pater the Shem Azayis as it can't be an ikker to pater the bracha and everything else on the anigun. Maybe we could say another mahalach in the same vein, taking a step further. We're running out of time, so you'll just ask me afterwards. The emes is, we pass like the Truma Sedeshim. that if you eat the tefillah first, the tefillah needs a bracha. Notice, we paskin that a tefillah needs to have a bracha. The bracha of the ikar path is the bracha of the tefillah, but the tefillah needs to have a bracha. The shailah and paskin, such a case when you're eating the tefillah first, so you have to make a bracha on the tefillah. What bracha do you make on the tefillah? So the Rishon Yosef says, whatever bracha deserves. If the tefillah is an eitz, you make a berach eitz. If the tefillah is adama, you make a berach adama. If it's bread, you make a mitzi. In other words, once you, normally you don't have to make a bracha on the tefillah because the bracha on the ikar path is the tefillah. But if you're eating the tefillah first, so then you have to make a bracha on the tefillah. So what bracha do you make? You make the bracha royal. I mean, that's it's intuitive. That's the simple pshat. But the Truma Sedeshin and the Ramah, which I said, Rafaish argues on the Truma Sedeshin. The Truma Sedeshin and the Ramah say, no, you make a shakal. No matter what it is, you make a shakal. In other words, the Nakud here is that the Yosef holds that a tefillah does not lose its chashivus. A tefillah does not lose its bracha. It still has the bracha of Eitz, the bracha of Adama, the bracha of whatever it is. The tefillah has its own bracha. It normally is exempted by the bracha of the Iker, but when it's not able to be exempted by the bracha of the Iker because eating the tefillah first, then the tefillah retains its identity as it retains its original identity. And the tefillah identified as a fruit, so it's by Priyas. But the Ramah and the Truma Sedeshin hold that a tefillah loses its own chashivus. Its only chashivus is as a tefillah. I don't look at it anymore as a pre-eitz. I look at it as a tefillah. It's just a helpmate to the ikar. So you make a bracha on it because also the honest benayim is a bracha. If you're eating it first, you have to make a bracha. But it doesn't have anything, but it's nothing else. It loses any identity. Everything else melts down. It loses. It's just a tefillah. So on a tefillah, make a shakal mi'bidvar. That's how the Ramah passed. Mechalkes v'Yosef Yosef in the Ramah. So now let's go back to our thought experiment. You're taking some pills. And after the pills, you're going to have a piece of cake because you shouldn't be taking an empty stomach. So what bracha do you make on the cake? So the tefillah, if you make a mezainis. Over here, you have to make a bracha on the cake because we pass in like the Truma said that we pass in that a tefillah needs a bracha. It's very similar to when you ate the tefillah first. Here you're eating the tefillah less, but on the medicine, you didn't make any bracha at all. So you have to make a bracha on the tefillah. But what bracha do you make on the tefillah? The Fila Beis Yosef didn't lose his bracha by Rimini Mizaitis. On the other hand, the Fila Truma Sedeshin and the Ramah, it's a shakal. Temis is Harala Maisa. I don't know. I have to ask a Pesach, but Chara would pass like the Ramah. So if a person takes a pill and then you have to have a piece of cake on an empty stomach, because you can't have the pill on an empty stomach, you should make a shakal. So I don't know. I'm not saying Halachala Maisa. I don't know. It's an interesting thing. It just occurred to me that maybe should be an issue. But Akaponim, Chara and Svara, that's 100% right. Lefila Ramon the Truma Sedeshin, a tefillah is a shakal. So if you eat a fula refuah without any bracha at all, and afterwards you have the tefillah, so the tefillah needs a bracha, but it loses any chashivas of its own. You need to have a bracha. So the bracha shakal nibidvar. So now next yanan in the case of the shemen zayis. So again, the shemen zayis happening the refuah. So refuah doesn't warrant a bracha. Fine, the shemen zayis as a refuah doesn't warrant a bracha. Shemen zayis needs a bracha because it has some taste. That's not what makes it a nicker. What makes it a nicker is that it's the refuah. The refuah shabai never warranted a bracha. But it's still enough to turn everything else into a tuffel. Just like if you have the medicine and then you have the tuffel, the medicine didn't need a bracha, but the other thing that you eat afterwards is still a tuffel. And lefi, the Truma Sedeshin and the Ramah, the tuffel goes down, has no chashivas, it goes down to being a shakal. So now in this mixture, all the other ingredients, the rest of the anigroin, now has been reduced to a shakal. Even though the Shemen Zayis is only the refuah. Even if you made no bracha on the Shemen Zayis, so you didn't make any bracha, we do make a bracha, but even if you would not make any bracha on the Shemen Zayis at all, but since the Shemen Zayis is the cause, everything else is in the effect, so everything else now has no chashivas at all, so you have to make a bracha on it, but only a bracha of shakal liyabidvar. On the other hand, the Shemen Zayis itself, and the refuah shabai, there's no bracha at all, but it's still a food, because it has a tam, and it's not a zukim masakle in a mixture, the Shemen Zayis warrants a bari priyates. So if the Shem Zayis warrants a Bari Priyates, and everything else has no Hashivas at all, it's just a shackle, so then it could be that that Bari Priyates becomes the Ikka. Since the Aniga lost its whole Hashivas as a food, you have to make it a shahakal because you can't be nene b'lei bracha. But it's totally, the rest of the nigga has lost its chashivas entirely. But the Shem Zayis has some modicum of chashivas. Not the refuah of Shabbat, but it's, the Shem Zayis is not a tuffel. You're not having the Shem Zayis only as a result. The Shem Zayis has a tam. You know, so maybe the other things have a better tam, but so what? The other things lost their chashivas, they're a tuffel. The Shem Zayis has a tam and it has some chashivas. So then it could be that the Shem Zayis, that maybe not midin tefelah she'ein me'arves. Maybe midin tefelah me'arves. You all like those who shayin. That's the concept of a tefelah in a tarevis too. The most important ingredient here. The most important ingredient is the Shem Zayis, because the Shem Zayis still retains its chashivas as a priates. Everything else has been deracinated into a mere shakel ni'avidvari. It's lost all of its chashivas. So what's the most important ingredient? The Shem Zayis is the most important ingredient. So the bracha will be on the Shem Zayis, and that will be the shita of the bag. And the Torah will all like the Beis Yosef. That a tuffel does not lose its own bracha, it retains its original bracha. So everything else there also still needs its bari pri adama. So everything else is just as important as the Shem Zayis, and forget even more, because normally if you take refuah out of the picture, then the other ingredients are more important than the Zayis, as the Gemara said. So this will be an alternate explanation for the sheet of the bag. So basically, it's variations on the theme. The first way I said it is simpler, that the nekudas hamachlekes is they're arguing there's a tefillah need a bracha at all. In other words, everybody, the Shem Zayis is the refuah, but refuah doesn't warrant a bracha. So when you make the bracha on the Shem Zayis, you're not making the bracha on the refuah Shabbai. You're making a bracha on the taste Shabbai. The refuah Shabbai is brachaless. So what's the machlekes the Torah in the bag? The machlekes is, the Torah held, the way Iker v'tofel works is you make a bracha on the Iker, it patters the tofel. But over here, the Shem Zayis, the bracha that I'm making on the Shem Zayis is only on the taste Shabbai, which is a minor thing. The fact that the Shem Zayis is the refuah doesn't warrant a bracha, so the bracha on the Shem Zayis can't be considered to be an ikur to part of the rest of the anigrei. So therefore, says the Torah, it doesn't make any sense. So the refuah over here can't make the Shem Zayis into an ikur, can't change the brachas. Whereas the Bahag holds that a tefillah doesn't need a bracha at all. So I don't care that the Shem Zayis as a refuah doesn't need a bracha, but it's still the cause why I'm drinking everything else. Everything else is a tefillah to the refuah. It's like if you took a food after a pill, it's a tefillah to the pill. Even though the pill didn't have a bracha, but the food is still a tefillah to the pill. And a tefillah doesn't need a bracha. And that's the shita of the bag. So nothing else in the anigrin needs a bracha. The only thing in the anigrin that needs a bracha is the Shem Zayis. You make the bracha on the Shem Zayis. That was mahalach number one. Now I'm saying mahalach number two. That maybe the Bahag agrees to the tour that a tefillah does need a bracha. Like we paskin, like the Truma Sedeshin, that a tefillah does need a bracha. But maybe they're arguing about the machlekes of Beis Yosef and the Ramah. What bracha do you make on a tuffel? When you make a bracha on a tuffel, what bracha do you make? Like when you eat the tuffel first. So the Beis Yosef says, if you eat the tuffel first and you do have to make a bracha on the tuffel, you make the bracha roiloi. And the Ramah says, based on this other Truma Sedeshin, and the Ramah holds that when you make a bracha on a tuffel, the tuffel lost its own chashivos. It's become a mere tuffel. So it goes down to shakel. It doesn't have any chashivas of its own. So that could also be the machlekes of the Bahag and the Tur. Over here, again, what makes the Shem and the Iker is that it's the refuah. So it is that it's the refuah. But a refuah doesn't need a bracha at all. But the anigroin. But the anigroin is still a tuffel to the refuah. The anigroin is a tuffel to the refuah because I'm only eating the anigroin because I want to have the refuah of the Shem Zayis. So the anigroin is a tuffel to the refuah. But a tuffel needs a bracha. We're not going now. We're saying that a tuffel still needs a bracha. But what bracha does a tuffel need? So the Beis Yosef holds, and the Tur holds, maybe like the Beis Yosef, that a tuffel needs its original bracha. So the anigroin still needs its own bracha, let's say, Bari Pri Adama. So if the anigroin still needs its own bracha bari pi adama, and the Shem Zayis, its bracha bari pi eitz is not on the refuah shabbai, only on the taste shabbai, and the taste of the Shem Zayis is tuffel to the taste of the anigroin. So why would you make a bracha bari pi eitz? You make a bracha bari pi adama. Whereas the Bahag holds that since the anigoin is a tuffel to the refuah, so a tuffel needs a brocha, but only a shackle. It loses any own chashivas, any chashivas of its own. It becomes now mere, just generic food, but it loses any chashivas. So you have to make a brocha. Also, not a simple brocha. You make a shackle. So then it could be that if I have a food that has no chashivas at all in this mixture, and I have a shemen zayis, forget the refuah, but the shemen zayis has a modicum of chashivas as only. It's a bari peyetz. Everything else is a mere plastic, and the shemen zayis is a real bari peyetz. So then, just on regular taravistika grounds, then the shemen zayis will be the ikker, and the other foods will be the tuffel. So the shemen zayis now becomes the ikker.
Why does the shemen not lose its chashivas if we're so focused on the refuah aspect of it?
Because the shemen zayis, at the end of the day, is not something that I'm only eating as a result of a tuffel is a food that I wouldn't eat if I hadn't eaten the ikker, or if I wasn't need to eat the ikker. So that's a tuffel. Can't say that about the shemen zayis. I wouldn't drink the shemen zayis if I didn't have to drink the shemen zayis. It doesn't make any sense. So that doesn't demote the shemen zayis. The shemen zayis is still in the ikker. It's by base. Okay. Very good. Let's make a minion now.